world this week. The president cancels an energy speech, and New York's Governor Kerry, back from Camp David, says it's just as well.
Question is, after having made three speeches on energy, would a fourth speech do the job?
It's time, Kerry says, for action. A possible GOP presidential candidate, Howard Baker, says it's past time.
If I were president right now, I would have been president for 2.5 years, and we wouldn't be in this mess.
And time has all but run out at NASA.
Now, we're approaching the moment of truth when Skylab will enter.
I'm David Jackson, CBS News, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The nation this week looked to Camp David and asked, what's going on? The president rushed back from Asia to deal with the ever-tightening energy squeeze, scheduled a major energy speech, saw a draft text of that speech, and abruptly canceled the whole thing. Kentucky's Governor Julian Carroll was in the first group of outsiders to go up to Camp David to meet with Mr. Carter.
It appears to me that he has a major conflict within the administration, the formulation of policy of two extremes diametrically opposed to each other.
That group of eight governors was followed to the mountain by old Washington hands, energy industry experts, and some cabinet officers. Lem Tucker has the story.
It is the energy summit turned into a political and general economic summit. And we are told that the result will be a kind of long-range economic energy plan for moving this country for the next few years. It almost has to be, because the administration has now built such suspense around the talks that anything less would probably mean more political trouble for Mr. Carter. Some reports say a White House staff shakeup will come out of the meetings. If so, so be it. But that news will not move gas lines or heat homes this winter. One thing is clear. This is July 1979, and in the next 5 months, 1980 politics will start to dominate the American scene. And some people here in Washington are saying that that's about all the time this administration has to figure its way out of this mess. That is, if Mr. Carter has any re-election plans. Lem Tucker, CBS News, The White House.
More on the politics of energy after this.
CBS TV celebrates the people of America.
There may be some hard times, but it only makes us stronger.
Cause when I need refreshment, old-fashioned taste comes first. One thing I can depend on when I get parched and dry, the taste of good old-fashioned lemonade, right in country time.
Country time, country time, tastes like that good old-fashioned lemonade.
Not too tart, not too sweet, with natural lemon flavor. Country time lemonade flavored drink.
Tastes like that good old-fashioned lemonade.
After President Carter canceled his energy speech, he canceled an appearance this weekend at the National Governors Conference in Louisville, sending instead Vice President Mondale with a hint of what's to come.
We need massive new capital investments in solar, in coal, in wind, in shale, in tar sand, in biomass, in geothermal, in synthetics, in every path toward a less dependent future. But to pay for that effort, no American should be asked to be taxed twice. First, with ever-rising OPEC-imposed price hikes, and then again, taxed to develop these new sources of domestic supplies.
Mondale pushing the administration's windfall oil profits tax. The White House also sent to Louisville domestic affairs advisor Stuart Eisenstadt, who confirmed published reports about a memo he sent to the president calling on the administration to target OPEC as a clear enemy, that to mobilize support for energy policies. His message to the governors was that the energy crisis is on the road to solution.
We are now, I believe, at a turning point on energy and on the economy. I do not believe that our country should stand for its continued vulnerability to OPEC. We cannot continue to tolerate the waste of opportunity and the waste of resources that have occurred in the past.
Some temporary help may be on the way from Saudi Arabia. The authoritative oil journal Middle East Economic Survey reports the Saudis will boost their oil production by 1 million barrels a day for the next 3 months. U.S. experts say that'll go a long way to relieve current shortages and hold prices down. The Saudi increases come as the U.S. gears up diplomatic efforts in the Middle East. That when the world this week continues in 1 minute.
Look out now, it's the Pointer Sisters.
Middle East talks this week. Doug Sager reports from Alexandria, Egypt.
Round 4 of the Palestinian autonomy talks ended here this week, hailed as a breakthrough session by President Carter's special envoy, Robert Strauss. It was Strauss's first appearance at these talks, and to him went most credit for ending more than a month of Egyptian and Israeli haggling over an agenda, proposing instead 6-man working groups to tackle details of elections for the West Bank and Gaza, and to determine just what powers an elected Palestinian council would have. Anwar Sadat and Menachem Begin will meet here this week, and with the autonomy talks recessed for another month, the pressure is on Sadat and Begin to make the basic decisions which will enable their negotiators to move from procedural breakthroughs to issues of substance. Doug Sager for CBS News, Alexandria.
Battles for survival marked this week in Nicaragua, not the least of which were President Somoza's attempts to remain in power. Charles Gomez reports from Managua.
There was a week filled with private and urgent meetings between the weary Nicaraguan president and U.S. officials. Officials who insisted on resignation even as Somoza attempted to win the war by mounting a major offensive against the Sandinistas. By week's end, Somoza admitted he was ready to resign, telling one newspaper reporter, "I am like a tired donkey fighting with a tiger." Somoza met with his Liberal Party deputies, telling them of his talks with the U.S. and saying he agreed to resign, provided that his National Guard and Liberal Party were ensured some place in a broadly based government. He promised to order a ceasefire before leaving the country. Earlier in the week, the president attempted to flex his political muscle by calling a full session of the Nicaraguan Congress, but he failed to get a quorum. Militarily, he masterminded a National Guard push on the city of Masaya, heavily controlled by the Sandinista guerrillas. But by the end of the week, the guerrillas were still in control. To add to his problems, the number of refugees continues to swell, and food shortages are critical. Charles Gomez, CBS News, Managua.
A new Sino-American trade treaty was signed in Peking this week, paving the way toward most favored nation trading status for the Chinese. It must be ratified by Congress. Skylab is falling, its orbit slowly decaying, the craft drifting inexorably nearer the Earth. NASA's best guess for re-entry time, this Wednesday afternoon, give or take a day or so. Where? Along a path 4,000 miles long, 100 miles wide. Exactly where, no one knows yet. The World This Week, produced by Harry Polosian. I'm David Jackson, CBS News.